Paul, how are you this morning?
We're doing well, Tony. How yourself?
I'm doing well. You've been a busy guy. Let's talk about your Urban Cooperation Act reform legislation that passed the House yesterday.
Yes, we had 63 positive votes for it. We're very excited. It is a reform the Michigan Municipal League has been working for 25 years to try to get through the House and the Senate. And we've got it through the House in a very good form, and we look forward to working with the Senate. And it is a reform the governor has strongly asked for and is supporting 100%.
Well, give me the details about the act.
Well, the current law, if two cities want to combine services, let's say Lansing and East Lansing, it's very clear that all employees that are involved in that combination of services must be raised to what is called the highest level. And then it specifically explains that everyone will receive the highest of the pay scales, wage scales, vacation time, health benefits, retirement benefits, workers' comp, and on and on and on. And what it really does is it actually increases the cost for a local unit of government to merge or consolidate, which is a major focus of the governor's reinvention of Michigan. So all we did with this was we did not affect collective bargaining at all. We simply took out the mandates and then asked the collective bargaining process be put into place as cities and townships want to work together to consolidate service.
A package of bills that passed Wednesday was sponsored by you also, and they focus on protecting Michigan homeowners from new hidden fees that are being charged against the property when it's sold under the bills, the new fees known as residential transfer fees or capital recovery. Talk about that.
Yeah, and they're also called private transfer fees. They have a variety of names. They're popular in about 30 states right now. 12 states have actually banned them. What it is like a large developer may build a complex of 300 or 400 homes, and as they begin to sell those homes, they attach to the title a private transfer fee or a capital transfer fee of any percentage. It could be 1%. It might even be as much as 5%. So that every time the home is sold for the next 99 years, that developer gets that commission off a sale. The problem with that is it really grays the title, and there's a lot of uncertainty as to who really owns the piece of property when somebody has that lien on it for the next 99 years. So if the person who actually originally buys the home sells it, that person sells it, every time it's sold, there's this fee actually put on place. A second problem with it is if that developer goes out of business, in some states now, the title company will not give a clear title because they don't know how to handle the situation when there's a lien on the property and the company has since gone out of business.
I wanted to get your take on a jobless benefits a story that has been the big news. The Republicans are trying to make some changes with this. I know that Gretchen Whitmer is against what she has seen. Talk about what you feel about this unemployment package extension.
Well, a challenge that we have here, like, you know, related back to the Urban Cooperation Act, Tony, cities are facing bankruptcy, so we have to do something to help them save money. The unemployment fund in Michigan is currently $3.9 billion in the red, and that's growing every year. In essence, it is bankrupt, and we're borrowing money from Washington to pay unemployment benefits. What we did this week was, on the federal extension, we approved that. That comes out of the federal unemployment tax that employers pay. But we reduce the number of hours for new unemployment applicants from 26 weeks to 20 weeks in an attempt to keep the system afloat for Michigan residents who apply for unemployment.
So you like the idea?
It's that or we don't have it. You know, I heard you interview and you talked with Senator Mike Kowal, and, you know, he kept using the word bankruptcy. And it's amazing, and what really impresses me with Lansing is people want to never change anything. They want to keep everything the same, even when it's bankrupt. And then when it's bankrupt, there is no more money. You know, and then nobody has anything. And so what we're trying to do is actually save so it can remain in place and we can still provide a safety net for the residents here in the state of Michigan.
Well,
definitely I support it, and I think it was a very positive move on the House and the Senate's part.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with State Representative Paul Opsomer on the Friday of Brittany's birthday. Thanks so much for tuning in. What I find interesting is through all the dialogue that we hear about what's going on with budgets, not only in the city of Lansing, but with the state, you have this challenge of getting the information out to people that, yes, we want a great quality of life and we want jobs and we want money for education and we got to do what we can to keep people staying in the state who are educated. But right now we're in a crisis situation, and before we worry about that stuff, we've got to balance the budget. And it appears a lot of people don't get that.
I agree with you, Tony. You know, we do have some challenges. The governor is asking people to step up. I think what we're really looking at is let's take a couple step backwards here temporarily. Let's balance the budget structurally, which it hasn't been for 5 years. Let's allow business the opportunity to create the jobs that will enhance the budget, you know, and increase revenue. And then we can really start stepping forward in 2012 and 2013. And the Balancing Act, like you said, is still to maintain a safety net for those citizens who are underemployed or unemployed. And I think that's what we're trying to do. I think we're doing a great job of that with legislation coming out of the House. And I think the governor really is compassionate as he tries to work with everybody in the state of Michigan.
And finally, Paul, we talk to a lot of union officials here on this program, and I keep hearing the same message echoed, that they believe that there are those, many Republican, that are trying to crush and shut down the unions. They believe that a lot of issues that are coming to the forefront, a lot of policy is geared at shutting down, closing, ending unions' influence. How would you respond to that?
No, not true. Definitely not true. I think you have some people looking for a tagline that they're going to try to use in the 2012 election, and they're trying to float different ideas to see what might catch on with the general public. There's a very clear public act that protects collective bargaining. We have never, at our caucus, even talked about doing anything with that. I agree with collective bargaining. I think collective bargaining is a very fair and equitable way to handle disputes between management and labor, and would not support in any way dismantling collective bargaining rights for workers here in Michigan. We are not taking the approach that they are in Wisconsin. This is completely different.
All right, and as we let you go, what are you working on now? What's going to be at the forefront of your agenda?
We're going to look at a couple things. We're going to work with the insurance industry, and I've got some Democrats out of Detroit interested in working on some legislation to regulate credit as it's used in setting insurance rates in the state of Michigan. And then we'll also look at the child daycare union issue and start pushing some legislation probably in April that looks at banning the practice that took place when Governor Granholm was in office and taking union fees from people living in homes.
State Representative Paul Opsomer from DeWitt, thanks so much.
Tony, thank you. Please call anytime.